We're ready. Go ahead and find Amos chapter 4 while we're waiting. Amos, A-M-O-S, chapter 4. The book of Amos. Chapter number 4. We are talking about matters of Christian character and Christian conduct in our day-to-day living. Last week we looked at several Bible references that give us reasons to be of good cheer. Today, I want to talk to you about being a prepper. You ever heard of a prepper? A lot of Americans are into this prepping for some disaster that's never going to happen, probably. They'll dig a bunker in their yard, and just in case they get a nuclear war or something, they think they'll be safe. They call them preppers. And so we make fun of people like that, yeah, but you'll find out in the Bible there are some things God expects us and wants us to be prepared for. So we want to know what those things are. We're going to look at that today. So are you prepped? According to the Word of God, are you prepped? Are you prepared for the future? The Bible has a few things, not many things, but a few things to say about being a prepper. And so we're going to prepare today. I'm going to prepare you so that you can prepare in a biblical way, in biblical fashion. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we do want to be prepared, especially, Lord, you said you would come in a day and an hour that we don't know. So we pray, Lord, that day won't catch us by surprise. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to see what your Bible says about the things we ought to be doing in the meantime, so that if you were to show up right now, we'd be ready. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, help us to receive these things today from this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Lord himself, he's a prepper, if you will. I mean, the Lord has prepared, according to the Word of God, he's prepared a table for his own in the presence of their enemies. That's what we're told in Psalm 23. And he has gone to prepare a place for us if we're saved. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in John 14. And he will come again and receive us. And so we thank the Lord for his preparatory work. He has prepared mercy and truth, the Bible says, with which to bless us on a daily basis. In Psalm 61, verse number 7. But we're going to look at five matters that I find in the Bible about which we are told to prepare or to make preparation. And some of this will be a little bit preachy, just a little bit out of context possibly, but not to the extent of violating the passage. I won't do that. But just for the purpose of making the practical application to our lives today. So in Amos, if you're there now, Amos chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. You used to see this phrase on billboard signs. Amos 4:12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. If you have prepared for a time of famine by stockpiling food, okay, good for you, if you can do that. If you have prepared for a time of trouble by stockpiling water, good for you. If you've prepared for old age or retirement by contributing to a retirement fund of some sort, okay, good for you. But you know, the famine, it might not ever come. The time of great trouble may not come. Your retirement years, you might not get any, okay? But one thing is for certain, and that is, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. There is a day coming when, whether you are saved or whether you are lost, you will meet God. Every person who's ever drawn a breath will stand one day saved at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for those things that they did that were pleasing to the Lord. Lost will stand at the white throne judgment to have their life compared to God's commandments. But in either case, you, my friend, will meet God. I would advise you, as you prepare for uncertainties, I would advise you to prepare for certainty. As you make plans, as you make ready for events that may never transpire, may never happen, as you make plans and make ready for days that may never come, let me encourage you to prepare for a day that certainly will happen, for an event that will undoubtedly come to pass. Are you prepared to meet God? Now the verse says, prepare to meet thy God, because the Lord is addressing Israel very clearly here. But the fact of the matter is, there's only one God. Amen? Accept him or reject him, he is your God. Believe in him or deny him, he is your God. And I would urge you to make preparation to meet him. You're going to stand before a holy God. You cannot enter his presence under your own righteousness. You're not fit to abide in his presence if you have ever transgressed his word. And all have. So the only way that you can properly prepare to meet God is to put your faith and your trust in the Savior that God has provided for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Trust his death, which satisfied God's demands that sin be paid for. And put your faith and trust in his precious blood that will cleanse you from all sin. If you believe on the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, your soul can and will be saved. Prepare to meet thy God. All right, and then two places in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Both say the same thing, but at different points in time. 1 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 29. These are not direct cross-references, as we often have in Samuel and Kings to Chronicles. But in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Okay, then 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And verse number 18. 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 18. Now, first of all, look at verse 10. I want you to see this is David praying here. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Okay, so this is David speaking here. Verse 18. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart." Okay, so those two passages together. In one case, the people are trying to get back in a right relationship with God after having gone astray. And in the other case, a father is praying that his son will never go astray. But in both cases, we can make this point as being true. Available to me, as I walk through this old world, available to me is going to be the opportunity to turn aside unto sin. To do that, I'd have to turn from God, to turn to sin, right? Every day, there's going to be some opportunity right in my face to do that. As I live my day-to-day life, available to me is the opportunity to stray away, to wander away from my God, from my Savior, and to get myself into things that a Christian should never, never be a part of. That opportunity is available. And so the thing for me to do before I ever begin my day, I should prepare my heart so that when the opportunity does arise on the right hand to turn aside or the left hand to turn aside, my heart is already prepped, if you will, knowing that there is nothing but harm that will come to me if I do go that way. There's nothing but disappointment if I go that direction. Rather than being taken by surprise, rather than being caught off guard when the devil allures us, tries to drag us in, let us be prepared. Let's be prepared in our heart. Amen? Now, think about it. And not one word of what I'm about to say is to speak negatively of anyone who may have done these things. So just hear me out here. If you thought the day would come when there was no food available in the stores, and ahead of that day you gathered to yourself a great deal of food, what you're doing is you're taking into account the possibility that something could happen tomorrow that would really hurt me. And so I want to prepare today so that if that thing happens, whatever it is, it won't hurt me. Okay? Maybe you remember what was going on during all that Y2K business. Or maybe you remember some other great disaster that was supposed to happen but never did. And then as long as I've been saved, people have been saying, the stock market is going to collapse and your money is going to become worthless. And look, if you think that that day could come and you have stockpiled some gold and some silver and some other things, I don't know who you would trade those things with if you do. But anyway, look, what you're doing is you're saying there might be something really, really bad happen a year from now. And I'm going to be ready when it does. So that when something bad happens, that bad thing doesn't happen to me, doesn't happen to my family. Look, that's the mindset, and I wouldn't condemn that mindset. You know, something bad is always happening. But that is the mindset of the person who is making preparation. My question is, have you made preparation for the opportunity that may arise for you? For example, to destroy your marriage. Have you made preparation for the opportunity that may arise to destroy your life with drink, with alcohol, with pornography? Look, it's not certain that the economy will collapse, though it could. And it's not certain that the stores will one day be void of all food, though it could. But it is certain that Satan is going to tempt you to sin in such a way as to destroy your testimony or your life or your family or your friends, your reputation. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. Okay? And so the Lord says in the Bible, have you made preparation? Have you prepared your heart to stay true to God, no matter what happens tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? Are you prepared to say no to sin? Are you prepared to say no to opportunities to go astray? Are you prepared in your heart to stay true to the Lord? Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19 is one of two really interesting passages, or chapters, I should say, in the law that have to do with the cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. And without preaching and going into great deal about these cities of refuge, I'll tell you about them. You see, if a man committed an act whereby someone else died, not murder, but manslaughter, okay, it was not premeditated, it was an accident. The person is at fault, he did it, he took another person's life, he's responsible for that, but he did not set out to take that other person's life, that he didn't want to. It happened, it was an accident. So, not murder, but manslaughter. If that was the case, the law had the nation of Israel set up these six cities scattered throughout the land of promise. These cities would be equidistant from one another, so that if a person committed manslaughter, he could easily flee to one of those cities of refuge. Okay, and if he got there, he could stay there and he'd be safe from the consequences and the judgment that would befall him because of that manslaughter incident. And it's a great picture of salvation. I was a sinner before I was aware of being a sinner. And I violated God's commandments before I knew what his commandments were. And death was pursuing me and tracking me down. But thank the Lord, he made a place. He made a place where I could flee, where I could abide and escape that pursuing sentence of death. Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, is our city of refuge. Okay, so that's the fact of the cities of refuge. That's the picture of what those cities prefigure for us in this New Testament day. So let's read a little bit about that, just a little bit here. Here's a reference, Bible reference, Deuteronomy 19, starting in verse number 1. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land thy Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedeth them, that means you take their place in the land, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Look at verse 4. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, meaning to those cities, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. Verse 6. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer. Okay. Verse 8, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, he's going to tell them, I want you to make more cities of refuge. Okay. So build the cities, and if the event happens, there's a place ready for the manslayer to flee before the offended party tracks him down and tries to kill him. But I skipped verse 3. I want you to look at that. Verse number 3. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. Prepare thee a way. And divide the coasts of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Okay. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. So watch this in the passage and in the picture. All over the land are going to be these cities. And a man living in one town, okay, he accidentally, in the example in Deuteronomy 19, he's cutting down a tree and he was sure that it was going to fall this way. He knew exactly what he was doing. He thought so. But his friend with the video camera is standing over here, and the tree did not fall that way. It fell this way and smashed his friend with the camera. So then all you see on the video is that man going backwards in the sky. Okay? And the man sadly loses his life, the cameraman. Okay? The fellow cutting down the tree says, "Oh no, I killed my friend." As soon as his family runs out here and sees that I killed their loved one, they're going to kill me. And he says, I can run to this city of refuge. Now, if he lives over here and the city of refuge is way over here, you know, I'm talking about kilometers distance now, okay, and there's in between those two points, it's covered with trees and woods and all kinds of junk that's going to make it hard for him to get from here to there. He's probably not going to make it. They're going to catch him before he ever gets there. So the Lord says, I want you to prepare a way, a highway, a freeway, a cleared way, so that the man who needs to get to that city of refuge, he can get there unhindered without a whole bunch of obstacles to have to contend with. Now, brother, sister, first of all, let's take that home in which you live, with your family, which you love, those children that you brought into the world. They might be little right now. They might be just coming of years right now. But you know they have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. And they might not even know what laws they have broken. They might not even know what commands they have violated. But here comes death, tracking them down. So do you know what you ought to do? You ought to get that TV out of the way. You ought to get that computer out of the way. You ought to get that bad attitude out of the way. You ought to get all that Disney garbage out of the way. You ought to get all that superhero junk out of the way. You ought to clear everything that stands between your child and faith in Jesus Christ. You ought to make that way from here to there to Jesus Christ. That you need to make that way as clear, as straight, as easy to travel as you possibly can. Get all that junk out of the way. And now adults, someday we all hope that man you work with is going to realize he needs Jesus. One day we hope that woman in your neighborhood is going to realize she needs Jesus. One day that family member with the attitude is going to be facing some fearful virus or some other thing, and they'll realize this could kill me. And they need Jesus. Let's make sure between now and then that our bad habits and our bad attitude are not blocking the way. Let's make sure that our testimony is what it's supposed to be, that it's not marred, our testimony is not messed up by our foul language, and it's not marred by misconduct. You understand what I'm saying? Between where that sinner stands and the Lord Jesus Christ is my life. It's my life. Is my life something that is going to cause that person to stumble or to have to slow down or consider going some other direction? Or have I prepared a clear road, a clear road of access and travel directly from where that sinner is to the person, the saving person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me show it to you in a little different light, a little bit different context. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And then we'll jump over to Matthew chapter 3 right after that. Isaiah 40 and Matthew chapter 3. You have heard of John the Baptist, and you probably know the first assignment given to John the Baptist. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Do you see that? John is not the Savior, but there sure is a lot of junk in Israel that's blocking the way to the Savior. John, prepare a straight path. Get those trees that have grown up out of that highway. Get those rocks, those boulders that have rolled onto the road out of that highway. Make it as easy for sinners to get to the Savior as you possibly can. Okay? Let's look at this account in Matthew now, Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 3. For this is he, speaking of John the Baptist, this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. All right, so let's check. You've got your bunker, all right, and down there in your bunker, you've got your water supply piped in right from your well. You don't even have to go above ground. You can stay where it's safe. It's right there underground. And you got your food, plenty of food. All the canned goods, they're stacked up. You can survive a long time. And you got your military food, your MREs, and everything else, everything you need to survive. You even got some stuff that you bought from the famous survivalist, the preaching survivalist. And it's all sitting there. It's in the corner. It's ready. And you're good to go. You're ready to go. And then the disaster strikes. And you run to get to your fallout shelter. And you say to your wife, open the door, open the door. And she says, I don't have the key. I thought you had the key. And you say, I don't have the key. You got the key. Where's the key? And now guess what happens? You've seen these wild searches for the car keys, haven't you? Now you're on the search for the keys to the fallout shelter. And the acid rain is coming down and the nuke cloud is sweeping overhead and you can't find the keys. Listen, we've got to not only have a place to escape, and we've got to not only have provision there, we've got to have a clear path of access. We've got to be able to get to it. Now, this world, right now, this world, every sinner in this world, death is tracking them down. And death is going to lay a hold upon them if they can't get to Jesus. And I'm telling you, the crazy world of entertainment, Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon, that's blocking the way. And this mad pursuit of money, love of money, literal Babylon, Revelation 18, stands in the way. And this false religion, the beast and all of his gimmicks, 2 Corinthians 11, Revelation 13, it's all standing in the way. And this little philosophy, pep talk, humanism, that stuff that's taking the place of Bible preaching, that's getting in the way. And this inviting people to come hear your rock band on Sunday morning to enjoy your light show in your church and everything else, instead of giving lost sinners the gospel, that's standing in the way. And God God sent John the Baptist, and he said, prepare the way. There's a place of refuge. There's a place of safety. There's a place of salvation. But there's too much junk in the way. People can't get to it. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Have you prepared the way for sinners to get to Jesus Christ? Or are you just throwing more junk in the road just like the world does? Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Some Christians are thinking about getting married. Some are thinking about bringing some babies into the world. Some of you might be thinking about building a house. Some of you are thinking about buying a new car or a car that's new to you. Proverbs 24 has a little something to say about all of that, about that matter of preparedness. And we're talking about matters of Christian character now. Preparedness. Proverbs 24, verse number 27, Bible says, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Prepare thy work without, outside, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Okay, let me give you an example. A young man comes to the pastor. He says, pastor, I want to ask you something. Okay. Well, what do you think about so-and-so? And he makes mention of the girl that's caught his eye. And the pastor says, listen, before we have that conversation, before we talk about her beauty and her testimony and her devotion to Christ and how she's the one and she's the answer to prayer and everything else, here's what I want to know. How are you going to support, how are you going to take on a wife when you can't even afford to not live with your parents or not share expenses with three of your buddies? And the pastor, he's not trying to be mean. He's just a prepper, you see. He's a prepper. He believes in being prepared. You know what the Lord said? If you don't have a job, why are you thinking about building a house? If your job will not pay for a one-room apartment, why are you thinking about building a house? If your job won't pay for you to live, why are you thinking about taking on the responsibility of a wife? Okay? If you got a wife and the two of you are just preparing for a miracle to make rent from month to month, why are you talking about having babies? Okay? You need to be a prepper. You want to get married? Okay, learn a trade. You want to get married? Get a job. You want to buy a car? Ride a bike for a while. Save some money. You want to buy a car? You want to get out of that apartment? Get a good house? Stop blowing your money on paying somebody to make you a sandwich at the fast food restaurant and save some money. Are you just making enough money to survive? Get a better job. Get a better skill set. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just teaching you. You got to make preparation for these things. You got to make preparation. Young lady, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Really? Mom does all the cooking. How are you prepared? Mom does all the cleaning. How are you prepared? Mom buys all your clothes. How are you prepared? Mom does all the finances. Mom pays all the bills. How are you prepared? You're not ready to get married. I just want to be out on my own. You're not fit to be out on your own. Come on. What happened to the amens here? I haven't heard any all day. Some of you parents, maybe you're looking forward to the day when your son, when your daughter moves out of the house. Okay, but I'm telling you, if they move out before they read this verse, they might be back. They might be back with two kids. Proverbs 24 said, prepare thy work without. Are you a prepper? And make it fit for thyself in the field. Before you get a family, take care of you. If you can't take care of you, you're not ready to take care of anybody else. Now you got a wife? Can you take care of that wife? Okay, good. If that's all you can do is take care of you and that wife, don't bring a bunch of babies into this world. Especially not if you're an American and I have to pay to feed your kids through the government taxes and stuff. Okay? Why do I have to work to feed your kids? I prepared myself to take care of me and my family. I didn't know I had to prepare myself to take care of other families in the town. Do you know what would stop most of this social mess, these social problems we've got? If people, when they had a chance to get an education, got an education instead of goofing off and playing sports and playing video games and watching TV. Do your homework. Learn something. Well, I'm going to pass the class anyway. The teacher, he's just going to pass everybody. He would never fail anybody. Who cares if they pass you if you're not qualified to earn a living? Learn something in school. When you get out of school, get a job. When you get a job, learn how to do that job. Do it well. Okay? You can't make enough money? Then study at night. Learn how to get a better job. And you work that job. And if you want to move up, then study at night, study on the weekends, get a better job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. I'm preaching the Word of God here. Now, have you got some money? If you got a car, I mean a car that you don't have to lay your hands on it every time you want to drive it and pray to God that it starts. I'm going to get married. I got a car. You don't have a car. You got a piece of junk. You got to take that woman places. You got to drive her around. She's got to be safe. You got to get her to church. She's not riding to the church with her family anymore. You got to get her to the store. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? Well, I'll just borrow the money and I'll go buy a house. The only person dumber than you then is the person loaning you the money. Now, come on. Come on. How is your field work coming along? How's your income? Can you provide for yourself? Can you provide for a wife? Can you provide for children? Then stop daydreaming about the family you're going to get someday and get a job today. Praise the Lord. Good preaching, brother. Good preaching. Thanks for that. Enjoyed it. Glad I came. Glad I made the trip to church today. All right, one more. Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. You say, preacher, why are you so emphatic about all this stuff? I'll tell you why. Now, we have had very, very, very few divorces in 26 years of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Kuwait. But looking at marriage statistics in general, the marriages that fail, almost every one of them, what cracked that foundation was money troubles, financial trouble. The adultery came as a result of the fighting that came as the result of the financial trouble. And most of those cases in counseling before the marriage, the pastor, he would do a budget. if he's doing his job. And he'd talk about the income. He'd say, you can't afford to do this right now. Okay? But we're in love. Love does not pay the rent. Just go down to the power company when you're about to cut, they're going to cut your power off. You're going to be in the dark. Try telling them, but you don't understand, we're in love. They don't care. They don't care. When the repo man comes around and starts putting your car on the back of the tow truck to give it back to who you bought it from, and you come out there and you say, look how much we're in love. He'll say, well, good. Just love each other on foot now. So I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. All right, one more. Preparedness. Isaiah 62, verse number 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Okay, and then Isaiah 63 verse 1 goes right into the second coming of Jesus Christ, his day of vengeance, bloodshed at Armageddon, and the establishment of the kingdom. Question, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? He said, I'm coming, clear the road. He said, I'm coming, level the highway. He said, I'm coming, get all obstacles out of the way. Now, don't send me an email and tell me, Pastor, you don't know the difference between the rapture and the second coming. Oh, I do. I do. I believe the second coming of Jesus Christ, literally, he's coming to this earth, literally. He's going to come back on a white horse, sit on this planet, and rule as king for 1,000 years. I do believe that. And before he does that, the church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that. What I'm asking is, are you prepared? Are you living your life with the understanding that everything I do must be done today? I have no guarantee of tomorrow. What I'm going to do for Christ, I need to do it now. I have no certainty that I can do it next week or next month. We don't know the day nor the hour of the second advent. We surely don't know the day and the hour of the preceding rapture of the church. So what I want to know is, if the rapture took place tonight, are you prepared? If you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ tomorrow, are you prepared? If you're going to receive a full reward, so that you can honor Jesus Christ by casting that reward at his feet, are you prepared to do that? It would be a good time to start. Good time to start getting ready. Now listen, let's suppose some sort of genuine, real, worldwide crisis crashed the entire world economy tomorrow. You would say, I would say, most everybody we know would say, I wasn't ready for that. I sure wasn't ready for that. If I would have known this was coming, I would have done a lot more to get ready for it. Right? Come on, isn't it true? You would. If you knew. Okay? Okay, if the rapture happens tonight, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and say, look, I didn't know this was coming. But you do, don't you? You do. Are you going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and here's your whole life going up in smoke, wood, hay, stubble, and you're going to turn to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, if I knew this was coming, I would have prepared. Look, they make these weather predictions all the time. A little whirlwind starts up over in Africa and all over the east coast of the United States. The weather people, the experts, they're trying to get people prepared for it. And people move into action. Here comes a hurricane. Here comes a hurricane. Let's go buy stuff. Let's go do this, do that. I mean, at least they can see that something is happening. Something is coming. They see it coming. And then it gets closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And as it begins bearing down, some people see that and they say, oh, wow, that's going to hit town. I wish I would have gotten ready. I wish I would have gotten ready. You saw it coming. You watched it for 2 weeks. Now they get this virus thing going. This is a little different because you don't see it coming. So it's a little difference. Wow, what happened here? I mean, the only people that knew the virus was going to hit were the millionaires and the billionaires that pulled all their money out of the stock exchange before they let anybody know that thing was coming. Anyway, there may be a genuine disaster strike for which we were not prepared because you just didn't see it coming or you just didn't believe that it was really going to happen. The rapture of the church is going to happen. The judgment seat of Christ is going to happen. The second coming of the Lord is going to happen. You know what the Bible says? Prepare. Prepare. Be ready. If you're not ready, get ready. So, what did we say today? Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare your heart for the temptations and the trials that are going to come your way. Prepare a way for sinners when they realize that death is after them. Prepare a way for them to get straight to Jesus, unhindered. Prepare your work for the day that you have a family, the day that you have children, the day that you want to retire, the day that you're old and you can no longer be employed. Prepare your work. And then prepare for the coming of Christ. Everybody should be a prepper. Everybody should be ready for the things that the Bible says are surely going to come to pass. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us that there are some things that we need to do. We can't just be sitting by waiting for you to come and take us out of this old world. But there's things you expect us to be doing to be prepared and to be useful in helping others to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we certainly don't want to be caught off guard when sin opportunities come before us. Help us, Lord, to always be ready to say no to sin every single day. Help us to remember these things that you've shown us today from the Bible. And we thank you, Lord, for these warnings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Joel.